The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
For this is what God has been saying to us. He said to us last year, and it continues, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. In other words, stretch it out as far as you want. As far as you have enough faith to stretch it out, stretch out your tent. Stretch out your living place. Stretch out your faith. Stretch out whatever it is in your life. Stretch out as far as you can possibly stretch out. Whatever's going on, stretch out beyond it. Set those stakes firm in the ground. Be faithful. Trust your God. It depends on our individual faith, how far you can stretch it out. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. This speaks to a multitude of things in our life. It speaks to our children and what's happening in their lives. How far can we stretch out the tent? How far can we drive down the stakes and lengthen the cords? How much faith do we have? It's all about trusting in our God. I want to talk to you this morning about new beginnings, having a new beginning. In fact, we are going to have a new beginning service. That's what we're calling it. March the 3rd. A special day where we're going to give you the opportunity to just invite your friends, your relatives, get people here. That special day, we're going to have a salvation message. The whole morning is going to revolve around the people visiting. We're going to give you some tools to be able to do that. We're going to give you some cards to be able to invite people. There are some statistics that say that people, there's like 40-some percent of the people that were surveyed that do not attend church said if a family member would invite them, they would come to church. They're just looking for somebody. They're just waiting for somebody to invite them. Say, come. March the 3rd. Yes. There are other statistics that say that people just want somebody to invite them. Very high percentage, about 2 or 3% of the population are not attending church. This is incredible for us to recognize that we have an opportunity. All we have to do is reach out and say, come. Give them an invitation. So we're going to pray. I'm going to ask you to start praying right now. Do some fasting. Prepare to invite people. We're going to give you the cards, the tools to be able to do that. And then on that day, we're also going to have a meal, a special day for the people that we're inviting. All right? Does it sound good? Yeah. Amen. Let's do it. Amen. Glory. I want to talk to you this morning about new beginnings, though. The theme, or the scripture that we're using for this theme, new beginnings, is Joshua 1:9. What a wonderful scripture. It's a great scripture. It's part, you know, I've memorized 8 and 9 both because I need that in my life. What it says, I have to go over and over and over on a regular basis because it strengthens me. It tells me that it's not about me, it's about my God. But it also tells me that I have some responsibility in it, and that is to have some faith and trust my God. The verse says, Have not I commanded you? Now, that right from the beginning is very, very important. We recognize God didn't say, I suggest that you do this. God is saying, I command. I command you to be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How can we be afraid and dismayed and discouraged when we know that our God is with us wherever we go? And part of the problem is that we're not sure all the time. We're not sure that He's there. But He is. I can guarantee that. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to I'm going to dissect this scripture a little bit, but we're also going to look at Numbers chapter 13, the story of the 10 spies. So if you'd turn there, please. Numbers chapter 13. God, through Joshua, is giving the people a new beginning. They just come out of Egypt with Moses. They walked in the wilderness for 40 years because they had made some mistakes or didn't walk by faith. And many things were going on. I'm getting way ahead of myself here with this scripture. This scripture, they're getting ready to enter the land. And they are talking about, or God has commanded them to go in and spy out the land so that they can go in and see what the land is all about. And this is where the 10 spies go in, and they have two different reports. Okay. 10 spies in Numbers chapter 13. And the Lord spoke, verse 1, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the commandment of the Lord, all them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now this is an important aspect of this. He chose leaders to go and spy out the land. Okay, now skip down to verse 16. These are the names of the men. We just skipped all the names. The men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hosea the son of Nun, Joshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak or few or many, whether the land they will dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inherit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. Now first of all, we as we look at this scripture, we need to recognize God already knew what the land was all about, what it was like, right? He didn't need man to go in and come back and tell him what it looked like, how good it was. And yet he says, "I want you to go in and spy out the land and see what it's like. Tell, when you come back, tell us what it's all about. Tell the people what this is like. Are there abundance there, or is it a land that you don't want to go into? Tell them. Look at it. Observe. Focus on what's going on there in the land. See the things." Now, he did not tell them to look at the fortified cities. He didn't tell them to look at the giants. He didn't tell them to look at the obstacles. He said, "Go and see what the land is like. Amen. See what that land is all about. How good it is."
Yes, sir.
In our scripture in Joshua 1:9, he's commanding the people to be strong and of good courage. Of course, now, this is where I kind of got off track a little bit. This is, in Joshua 1:9, this is where the children they've been in the wilderness for 40 years, and now they're ready to go in. Because they have spent all this time waiting for the Lord, waiting upon the Lord. They made a huge mistake, and the generation that made that mistake paid the price because they weren't able to go in the land. They all died off. But the children of those people are now being raised up. And this is what he says to them. "I command you to be strong." And the Hebrew word there means to be in a state of high degree of intensity. A high degree of intensity. Be intense about serving your God. Be intense about going into the land. Be intense.
Yes, yes.
Look, we need to get intense about serving God. Look, you know, this just laid back attitude. Well, whatever happens, happens.
Come on, sir. That's right. That's right.
You know, what was that song? Que sera, sera. Yeah, very good. Whatever will be, will be. Is that true? No. We know that's not true. We know what God has said. Look, the children, those children who went in, those leaders who went in to spy out the land, every one of them saw the same thing. But they focused on different, on something different. Their focus was on the 10 or the 8. Their focus was on the wrong thing. They focused on the giants. They focused on the fortified cities. They focused on the difficulties that they were going to encounter and overcome. 2, Joshua and Caleb focused on the right things. They looked at the fruit of the land. They looked at the good things that God promised them that would come their way. They were, you know what they were doing? They had overcome that poverty mentality that everybody else had. Those other people had a poverty mentality. They looked at the wrong thing. They had come into the land looking at the right thing. They were looking at the rewards. Do you know it's okay for us to look at the rewards that God has for us?
Amen.
Heaven is a reward, right? It's a wonderful reward. But there are rewards right here on earth that we can have for serving God. He wants you to have a secure, strong family. That's a reward for serving God.
Amen.
He wants you to have your finances in order so that you're not struggling all the time. I'm not saying you're going to be the wealthiest person on the face of the earth, but I can tell you this, God wants His people to have the finances to do His kingdom work.
That's right.
How else are we going to do it?
He
wants you to be promoted in your workplace and in your job. He wants you to have these prosperous things happening in your life.
Amen.
He wants your children to be a part of His kingdom.
That's right.
God wants, and these are all rewards that God has for us if we will serve Him with all our heart, soul, and mind. Amen. So we can look at the good things. We need to look at those good things. You see, what we need to do right now is we just need to spy out the land. Let's spy out the land a little bit. Let's go out and let's look and see what's out there. What's going on? What is it? Where are the fruits that God wants us to go in and take? Who is it? Where are they? I believe there's a huge number of people out there that needs exactly what we have in this church. We have things that many do not have. And I'm not trying to speak ill of anybody. I'm just saying God has blessed us. I recognize that. Our worship is incredible. Now, it's not a little ditty bop kind of worship where you come in and, you know, you just feel good about the songs that you sing. You know, we get into worship here. Well, we present ourselves to the living God. And we worship Him with our heart, our soul, and our mind. That's the difference. We're not the only church that does that, but I'm telling you, that's what's happening here at this church. And if all you're in, you know, part of the problem is a lot of people are looking for an experience that just makes them feel good about themselves. That's why the kind of preaching that's going on in many churches today are making people feel good about their sin. We can't make you feel good about your sin. I can't make you feel good about your sin. I have a responsibility. Your blood is going to be on my hands unless I tell you that it is imperative that you walk righteously before the Lord. It's very important. These are good things for us, but it's also hard things sometimes. It's hard for me to say. We have to be careful to make sure that we walk the right path. We have the Word of God that it promises us that it's going to light our path. It's going to make our way for us if we will trust in our Lord. You know what? When it comes to preparing to invite and encourage people in these new beginning services that we're going to have, I just want to encourage you to don't prejudge anybody. Just be prepared to invite people. Talk to people. First of all, you need to engage in conversation with people. If you will listen People will say things that will open the door for you to be able to talk to them about spiritual things. And when they do, when they talk to you about it, it may just be something real simple. You know, I'm having a difficulty in this area. Well, I'll pray for you. And by the way, you know, we're having this special service. Would you like to come? It doesn't have to. I'm not telling you that you have to memorize all the Bible verses. You know, I love the Roman road to salvation. It's a very simple way to lead somebody to Christ. But you don't have to have all that. You have to have a sincere heart and a desire to reach people. That's what you have to have. And I believe that in doing that, when we really come to this place where we recognize that we have something to offer people that is real, it's a treasure. I've got the most precious treasure of all. And if all I do is hoard it, put it in my house and keep it in my household, what am I doing for the kingdom? Right. It's very important that we share that treasure with others. You know, one of the things I've done in my past, which has been numerous occupations, one of them was direct sales. I was involved with a business where I had to make cold contacts to people. And it was two things that I learned about being in direct sales. Number one is, I'm not a salesman. I'm just not a salesman. You know, I don't have that thing. You know, first of all, I think what, and one of the things that I know you have to have when you're selling something is you have to believe wholeheartedly in your product. So I didn't believe wholeheartedly in my product. So that's probably the issue. I believe wholeheartedly in the product I have, which is Jesus. You know, that one's easy to share with people. So, and the second thing that I learned was that don't prejudge a person's response. You may look at a person, you may think of or see their circumstance and think, well, they're not interested. But what I found out was that many times the people that I thought wouldn't be interested were the ones that were interested. It was an easy sale because they were looking for what I had to offer. There's a lot of people out there that's looking for what we have to offer in Christ. We have good things. I just want to encourage you in this, as we prepare for this, these new beginnings, that God has a new beginning. I believe God started a new beginning right here this morning with a lot of people. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I want you to know what it says. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and for the Greek." You say, I'm not ashamed, and I don't want you to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be strong. I ask God regularly for boldness. I want to be bold to step out and share Jesus with people. Pray for that. I'm asking you to pray and fast and seek God, so that we as a congregation, as a group, will do the will of God. I believe God spoke to me about doing this. You know, I don't say that flippantly or often that, you know, God said this or God said that, but I believe God spoke to my heart. It lines up with the Word of God. These are the kind of things we're supposed to be doing. So I just want to move forward with this and accomplish it so that what is necessary for us this morning is to be strong. The word there is have a high degree of intensity, not being willing to learn information. And here's what it's implying, that you would change the response of your situation. That's what happened to the ten spies brought back a report that there were giants in the land, there are fortified cities, it's a place that will conquer you. And what did it do? That information changed the way the people looked at going into the land. We can't let the enemy do that to us. He will do everything he can to try to change our thought process by giving us the negative information rather than the positive information. We have to dwell on what is good. We have to dwell on the fact that there is fruit out there to be picked and brought in. In Jesus' name. Second thing is, we're going to choose wisely. Let's look at the two responses in the information that was was gathered. Numbers 13:30, of course, that's Joshua and Caleb's response. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are all well able to overcome it." See, they saw exactly the same thing the other eight saw, but they stayed in faith. They stayed in faith, and they looked at the fruit of the land. There was reward for doing the good thing. There was reward for doing what was right. There was rewards out there, and God said, we can have it. Of course, what did the other ones do? But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it were men of great stature. There were giants. There we saw giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we were in their sight." They saw the enemy, and they faded and they fainted in the sight of the enemy rather than being strong and faithful. Courage. The next word that we're looking at in Joshua 1:9 is the word courageous or courage. It means to marshal. The Hebrew word means to marshal force, muster strength, focus one's strength for the great exertion. Anytime God calls leaders to respond to his word, encourage people to accomplish his kingdom expansion, the enemy always finds other people to come against that. And you know, I'm sorry to say that many times it's people in our own midst. Almost every time that I have ever tried to do something that I felt was expanding the kingdom of God, there was always someone to oppose it. And many times it was Christians that were opposing it. You see that the 10 spies, they were all Hebrew. It was all part of the one family. We're all part of one family. But we oppose each other sometimes. Particularly, you know, sometimes, yeah, we need to weigh the cost. We need to recognize how difficult it's going to be. But let's not oppose the expansion of the kingdom of God. And that's what they were doing. They were exposing, they were opposing the expansion of God's kingdom, going into the land and taking the land. They were afraid. They let fear get hold of them and hold them back. Every time. I want you to understand something, that I believe that moving forward in the kingdom of God, there should be opposition. If there isn't any opposition, I'm a little concerned about what's going on. The enemy, he wants to oppose the things of God. So if you try to do something and God and there's opposition, count that as a blessing. That's wonderful. Hallelujah. That means you must be moving in the right direction. Just, you know, every time for Tammy and myself, whether it was just being house parents at children's services, you know, you're too young to do that. Having a group home. You don't have the right education. You can't do that. Or you don't have the money. You can't do that. Being a pastor, you've not gone to seminary. There's always somebody that was bringing up some obstacle. Building this church. You can't do that in Meigs County. What are you thinking?
Oh my God,
hallelujah.
Oh, glory.
Every time. I want you to understand, that's just part of it. Accept it. Recognize it. See that it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Move forward in it. And recognize that what is important is that you keep your focus. You focus on the right things. Choose wisely is the second thing. Proverbs 3, I can't make that choice for you, and you can't make it for me, but I can tell you how to make the right choice. And that is in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. You see, there's where we get off track sometimes. We start leaning to our own understanding. We must have that kind of relationship with the Lord that in all our ways we acknowledge Him so that He can direct our path. Third thing is process correctly. Joshua 1:9. Once again, the word that we're looking at is afraid. Do not be afraid. Fear, dread, terror, a feeling or attitude of severe distress, usually over future events. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We've got to process the things that we're seeing and that we're hearing. Make sure that you choose wisely who you're going to listen to and then process it the way that you need to process it. In Samuel chapter 17, this is a story of David and Goliath. When David sees the giant for the first time, he is told by some men what is going to happen to the man who kills Goliath. Now, this is something that we leave out of this story often. And I want you to understand, David knew what to focus on. He understood. He said, what is going to be done? Or they said, this is what's going to be done for the man who kills Goliath. He's going to have riches. He's going to get the king's daughter. And he's going to have his whole family is going to be exempt from taxes. Now, I'm not sure, you know, which one of those things motivated David the most. I know this, that he was probably about 17, 16, 17, 18, maybe, you know, around there, years old. That's what all the experts say. So, you know, having the king's daughter would have probably been a great motivation. Having riches, I don't know. Having his family exempt, all those things. But I want you to know they were important to David because right after that, he walks away from those guys that said it. He finds another group of guys, and he wants to make sure that he heard correctly. And he said, tell me what the reward is for the man who kills Goliath. And they said, oh, he's going to get riches. He's going to get the king's daughter. His whole family is going to be exempt from taxes. Wonderful. David, you know, David was really becoming encouraged by hearing those positive things that were going to happen. As soon as he walked away from there, guess what? His oldest brother came to him. He heard David asking, and he was upset with David. He didn't like the idea that David was beginning to build some faith that he was going to go out and kill that giant, and he would have been running and hiding in the rocks and in the caves. He was jealous. I'll tell you, there's jealousy in the kingdom of God. Be careful that you do not allow jealousy to overtake you. But David didn't let it stop him. His brother said, you should be back there taking care of the few sheep of our fathers. David just turned and walked away. He didn't listen to that nonsense. He went to another group of guys and he said, what is it that's going to happen to the guy that kills Goliath? I love this story because this is where David is building his faith to accomplish the will of God. The men tell him again, you're going to be rich. You're going to get the king's daughter, and you're going to get your whole family is going to be exempt from taxes. Three times in that short story, right in the beginning, David hears the same thing. And let me tell you something. When David went out with his sling and his stones, what do you think was going through his mind? I'm going to be rich. I'm going to get the king's daughter. My family's going to be exempt from taxes. That was his focus. And he said to that giant, I'm going to kill you today. I'm going to take you down. And he said without a sword in his hand. All he had was stones and a sling. And he said, I'm going to cut your head off. He was motivated to do the job. Because his God had given him faith, strength, and a reason for overcoming the giant. And he hit him with the stone, and he walked up and took the giant's own sword and cut off his head. Talk about faith. Yes. Amen. Amen. That's kind of gory, isn't it? Cut off his head. Not only did he cut off his head, but he took it home with him.
Yeah.
And he, yes, that's right. He hung it up so everybody could see. He accomplished his goal. Amen. David chose wisely. Remember, the enemy will try to stop you. You'll have a brother, maybe a brother in Christ, maybe your physical brother, biological brother, sister, someone. Someone will try to stop you from doing what God wants done. Keep your focus. Stay on it. Remember how important it is to know what God wants. Process the information correctly. I'll give you a couple of scriptures. Go along that. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then in Daniel 12:3, it tells us exactly what's going to happen to us. Who will share the good news? Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Last thing I want to share with you this morning, fourth point, is God has a new beginning for you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed. Dismay comes from fear. Dismay is a feeling of discouragement, of fear, terror, panic, confusion. You see these things come upon people. The word actually, the basis of it is to be in a very dry condition due to the shriveling of an object, due to lack of moisture. It's being in a dry place in your life where you've gotten to the place where the fear has overcome you, it's caused you to be discouraged. You see the terror, the panic, the confusion builds up inside of you. It's very dry. It's a dry spiritual place. Fear causes dismay, discouragement, panic, confusion, spiritual dryness. You see, the people process this information and they look at it, they looked at it in the wrong way. And those who chose to listen to the eight ended up getting nothing. They spent their whole life in the wilderness. That's where so many of God's people are in the wilderness. Because they're watching and they're listening. They're listening to the wrong voices. They're listening to those who are discouraging instead of encouraging. Look, I'm not telling you that everything is wonderful in the world. I think things are bad and they could get worse. But I have a great and mighty God. I have a powerful King. I serve the living God. He has promised that He is going to meet all of my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. No matter what. I'm on the right side. I'm like the three Hebrew children. You know, today I believe my God can deliver me. But whether He does or not, I am going to stand firm and believe my God. I'm going to serve Him even if I die in a furnace. Hallelujah.
Yes,
oh
God.
We have to have that kind of resolve. We must. I believe there's probably some in the room right now that are in this state that I'm talking about, dry spiritually. I can honestly say to you today, I believe there's an answer for that. I believe God has answers. God desires for you to overcome that fear. He desires to raise you up. He does not want you to be dismayed, disappointed, discouraged. This we know in 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Listen to what Jeremiah 29:11 says. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Every one of us can grab hold of that. You can take that scripture this morning and make it yours. It's for you. God is laying it out there. It's for each person who wants to grab hold of it and apply it to your life. Let me make it very clear. If you want a new beginning, it's available to you today. I believe that. I believe there's a time for every person to have a new beginning. And I believe it's a new beginning today. You see, in order for us to share a new beginning with our loved ones and people that we come in contact with, we have to have a new beginning. We have to have a renewal in our hearts. Many of us have been Christians for a long time. Some just new Christians. But regardless, if you're not careful, and no matter how careful you are sometimes, you still fall in or walk in these dry times spiritually. That dryness, that discouragement, it comes. God wants us to have a new beginning today. A new beginning. That new beginning, sometimes it begins with repentance. God, you know, I'm sorry. I want to get closer to you. I know I've made some mistakes. We all do. Praise God. The blood of Jesus wipes away all those things. Admit it. Admit your wrongdoing. Here's the problem. You see, many times we have such a hard time admitting that we were wrong. If we won't admit we were wrong, we won't be able to get back on track with God. Because He desires a pure heart. And He's looking for it. That's what He's looking for from us. So we recognize, we repent, we say we're sorry, and then we just accept the fact that the blood of Jesus is enough. That's all it takes. The blood of Jesus Christ causes us to be free. How many of you know that we had some puppies and kittens dropped off here? Oh, just about everybody, huh? Word gets around. You know, my initial response to that was, I was kind of upset. Not just kind of, very upset. Not just very upset, very, very upset. How dare those people to drop their problems off to us? That was my thinking. But you know what? I got to thinking a little bit later about it, especially after I took one of the pups home and started getting pretty close to it. It's my baby now. Amen. But you know, I did think about it a little bit, and I got to thinking, you know what? Maybe those people, maybe they couldn't afford to keep those animals, those kittens and those puppies. And their thought process, maybe it was that they thought, that's a really good place to leave those animals. Because there's going to be people there that will care for them.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
You know?
Thank you, Jesus.
And that's exactly the way I look at it now. My attitude changed. And my attitude changed because I formed a relationship with a puppy. Our attitude has to be that we have something very important that we can offer people.
Yes, amen.
We have answers. We have goodness. We have the love of Christ. I believe this is, you know, I'm prejudiced, absolutely. This is the best body in the area.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen. Absolutely. I recognize I'm very biased in that. But there is a special love in this congregation. And I want to share that with other people. But that's not going to happen until we start forming relationships with people. You know, we have to. We have to take the time to listen to what other people have to say and where they are.
Amen.
And know then that we have answers for them. Stand with me. Hallelujah. We've had a lot of ministry time today, and I believe God has broken some change in people's lives. I want to ask you this morning if you're going to, well, I guess what I want to do is I want to prepare us for the task that is ahead. I want us to get excited about these new beginning Sundays and reckon and look forward to what God is going to do. God wants to touch your family members. God wants to touch your acquaintances. He wants to touch your neighbors. He wants to do it through you. It's only going to happen if we'll get excited about it and recognize that this is a good thing. This is an opportunity for us to minister to people. It's going to take a group, it's going to take this group to recognize the importance of the task. And then when people come in, begin to act like we love them. That means you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone some. You're going to have to go talk to people. You're going to have to go introduce yourself and encourage people, lift people up, let people know. I'll tell you, I want to ask you this morning, who's with me this morning on this? Yeah. All right, praise God. It's unanimous. We want to do it. So I'm just going to pray over this congregation. We will have the strength, the courage, and the resolve to do what needs to be done. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just come before you today. We recognize your goodness, Father, and we ask that you give us, first of all, we need boldness and strength to be able to do, to just invite people to come, to share with people. And Father, if you open the door for us to pray for them or share the gospel, that we'll do that. Share our testimony, Lord, whatever it is, that we will be looking for opportunities to minister to people every day. Father, I thank you for touching your people in this. I ask that you give us the strength to pray, to fast, to prepare, to look to the future and know that you're going to be doing an incredible thing here in this church. That Father God, we are expanding our tents. We're driving down the stakes. We're lengthening our cords, Father. Hallelujah. We're making room. We're moving out. Father, by faith, we are seeing a mighty work take place here. And we just praise you and thank you for the courage to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is there anybody who'd like to have prayer for healing? Please come up. You can do that. You may be dismissed. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited to be able to share this message with you. Our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to use this tool to equip believers to walk in the abundant life Jesus promised. If you'd like to know more about our ministry or have a prayer request, please visit our website at www.bethel.org. Have a blessed day.